And John, just for the sake of everybody on the call and those at home, let's do a roll call vote, or a roll call just at the beginning.
Okay. Would you like me to do that, or do you want to do that, Jennifer?
Your choice. I'll let you decide.
Okay, I'll do it.
Okay.
Who's recording the minutes?
Tracy's on the line. She doesn't have audio to speak, but she's listening, so she's recording.
Okay. All right, so it's 3:00, so let's go ahead and get started. This is the regularly scheduled meeting of the City of Morro Bay's Citizen Oversight Committee, acting as Citizens Finance Advisory Committee. It's Tuesday, April 21st, at 2020 at 3 p.m., and we'll call the meeting to order and get a roll call. So we'll go alphabetically by last name. Mr. Alexander?
Present.
Mr. Beckman?
Present.
Mr. Bowes?
Here.
Ms. Johnson?
Present.
Ms. Bagnola?
Present.
Ms. Wehner?
Present.
And John Martin, I'm here. So, first thing on the agenda is committee member announcements and presentations. Does anyone have anything?
Not me.
I can't see all of your faces at the same time, so even if you raise a hand, I'm not sure how you're going to get the attention. Okay, so I don't hear anything, so we'll assume that no one has any announcements. So now we have the public comment period. Jennifer, I have to rely on you for this one. Do we know if anybody has dialed in for that?
No, sir. We have nobody in the dial-in queue.
Okay, so no public comment. So that being the case, you know, there's usually a public comment period on each business item. Can we safely move through that without calling for one each time?
I would suggest, John, that we still ask for one after the business item, just in case if people can call in at any time, and AJP will let us know if there's anybody on the phone.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay, so the first approval of minutes for the February 18th, 2020 regular CFAC meeting. There was one correction I noted that was in the questions that was submitted, and that's regards to the date of the next meeting. Should be corrected to April 21st, which is today. Were there any other changes or corrections anybody wanted to submit on that? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve with that one change.
I'll make a motion to approve with the change.
Okay, by Lois, and second?
I'll second it, Tina.
Okay. And all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, so all in favor. Okay, so that brings us to our first business item, a brief financial director, finance director update. Jennifer, take it away, please.
Okay, so as you all know, I plan to talk a little bit about our COVID-19 pandemic and what I'm sure you've all seen is happening around our community with the shelter-at-home order that went into effect mid-March. We have staff working remotely in some cases, and we have staff working on site. The city is generally operational, with priorities being shifted to first response and operations of the emergency ops center. We have, you know, building and community development still operating. Fire and police are heavily focused on, you know, maintaining the shelter at home orders and directives from the county on activities that are allowed, and actively leading the emergency response or emergency ops center for the city. And so there's been a shift in our priorities and focus because of this. So we're obviously behind on our budget cycle at this point, not only just from completing the budget, but also trying to understand what this means for our budget. If any of you are out walking around in the community, it's apparent that, you know, we've discouraged tourism throughout this, and that's the right thing to do to help prevent the spread of the illness, but we are heavily reliant on tourism at the same time. So it's been, you know, our economy here has virtually come to a halt in terms of that, and we're constantly reassessing and revising numbers on a daily basis as we get more information, what this means to our TOT, our sales tax, our gas tax, our property tax, our building revenues for permit revenues, all of them, it's a domino effect and is having, experiencing impacts from this. So we are more focused than we have been in the past on where we're going to end this fiscal year, and then heavily focused on what are our projected losses for next fiscal year. And when I say losses, meaning from what we had expected in the budget when we started the budget cycle in February to where we are today. So we're virtually starting over again. On April 28th, on Tuesday, the council is going to hear the first version or the first iteration of our fiscal and economic recovery plan. It's a living and evolving document as we hear more. At this point, there's been no stimulus money offered through the federal government or the state for relief for cities of our size. It's all been for cities of 500,000 or more. In addition, the state or the governor has mentioned or threatened that he's going to allow for a sales tax deferral for in our case, many of the small businesses that are 50,000 or more, 50,000 or less, for up to 90 days to 12 months if it's more than that, which would hopefully mean we'll receive the money at some point. We don't know if that money is going to be reported or not. So we don't know if we'll have an estimate of how much we should receive. And then, you know, the concern is if businesses aren't successful in living out this pandemic and the effects of it, will we ever receive the funds? So that creates a cash flow issue and a potential receivable issue as well. From the city's perspective, we have deferred TOT payments to those that need it. They're required to report how much money we should expect to receive, and it's required to be paid August, at the end of August, so we can record it in this fiscal year before we close the books. And we're working, we're waiving penalties for the harbor lease payments and, or penalties and late fees for the harbor lease payments and utility bills and business license and any kind of penalties that we normally would charge. We've offered waiver of those at this point to try to help people, ride out through this economic downturn, with having a relatively little impact on the city because we're greatly affected by this as well. So it's a moving target, but we are committed with the city manager enacting the, short-term fiscal emergency plan. We committed to coming back to council at the end of April with, the first iteration of our recovery plan. It's going to have many components to it. I'm sure you all saw the press release where, the city manager, directors, and council have all, given salary concessions. So that's a component of it, but that's, you know, a fairly small component when we look at the magnitude of the losses that we're anticipating at this point. So my point of rambling through all of that is you stay tuned, likely going to be a very fluid budget process this year and throughout next year, multiple more check-ins, more thorough and in-depth check-ins to see where our revenues come in. With the limited reserves we have to be very careful about how we allocate those out since we don't know how long this is going to last and we don't know how long the economy will take to rebound from this.
Is the CFAC going to have any look into these drafts of the budget that you're putting together, or are we just going to wait until the city council approves one?
So the CFAC's role is to review Measure Q. We have expanded that the last 2 years, I guess, by providing more comprehensive reviews of the whole city budget We have pushed back or expect to push back the budget hearings that were scheduled in early May, simply because we aren't going to have a budget at that point. So my hope and goal is to have a budget for you at the in the May meeting. I can't promise that 100%, but that is our goal, is we're anticipating being able to do budget meetings at the end of May. So you would have a chance to look at it then. But again, as if things keep evolving and changing, you know, we'll have to play it by ear.
Okay, are there any other questions for Jennifer?
Homer has a question, John.
Okay. Homer, go ahead.
I watched the February meeting today since I wasn't able to attend, and I had a couple of comments and suggestions. John mentioned sending the committee the HDL sales tax report. Since you agreed to scan it and email it, could you include the entire report? The committee, along with the city council, used to get all the pages, which included a lot of valuable information.
When you say the entire report, you mean the front and back page?
Yeah, usually it was about, I know Barbara helped me a little bit here, 10, 12 pages, something like that. But it also included the Measure Q and some other relatively interesting information.
Yeah, it wasn't just the 2 pages, Jennifer. I think it was a separate report.
So the only, we're actually have a Zoom meeting set up with them, I think tomorrow or Thursday. And I'll confirm the only things that I'm aware of that are not confidential and can be shared are that front and back page. And then there's a maybe 4-page brochure. I'm happy to scan either of those. Anything else I'm under the impression is confidential, but I'll confirm that with them.
Okay. But I do recall it used to detail out Measure Q.
I've seen some old things from maybe back to 2007-ish that were on the website, and they actually were marked confidential, but they were posted. So I'm not going to share anything that's confidential from a business perspective, but if it's not, I'm happy to share it.
Okay. The next thing I wanted to bring up was how is the WRF planning loan reimbursement progressing?
We've transitioned to a new working group with WIFIA, if you will. We had our team established that we've been meeting and with or having conference calls with on a weekly basis.
Now, this was the SRF planning loan, $10 million?
Yeah, sorry about that. They've gotten back to us with some questions on some additional documentation that they want, and they need a project completion report. We've given them all the documentation that we have up here at the city. So Eric Caceres was following up with them, with some of our subs back from like when Mike Nunley was on board, some of the subs under him, some various ones to get some additional documentation. And I believe he's gotten that and just sent that over at the end of last week or early this week. So we hope to hear back from them soon.
What do you suspect the current outstanding balances?
We've only gotten the one reimbursement at this point, which was 272 or 217.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So basically the whole $10 million still out.
Correct.
That'll be nice when that shows up on the investment report. And the last thing I wanted to mention was I brought up the budget document at our January meeting, and it didn't go anywhere. But since things have changed, I thought I would mention it again. I'd like our committee to recommend to you, the finance director, that you consider reducing the size of the 2021 budget document itself. 4 years ago, the document was 219 pages. This year's budget is 630 pages. While I feel those extra 400 pages contain a great deal of valuable information, I just question whether the finance department can afford the time it takes to collect the information, prepare and collate all that extra stuff. And since Ms. Calloway is wearing 2 additional hats, Public Works Director and Public Information Officer, both of which are currently full-time jobs, wouldn't her time be better spent managing the city's cash, the WRF cash, and the federal and state reimbursements for the WRF project? I realize John pointed out at the January meeting that this would eliminate the city from receiving an award from the California Society of Municipal Finance Officers, but can the city afford the time necessary just to get that award? And that's just something I thought I'd throw out to the committee.
Okay, any other questions for Jennifer?
Well, did anybody make any comments about that?
Right now we're just asking Jennifer questions on her report.
Okay. So this is in the comments section of her report?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
So anybody else want to make comments or questions about Jennifer's report?
Thank you, John. I thought it was very good, and what she included in the agenda is excellent. So I think it's satisfactory. Thank you for that, Jennifer.
Okay. Any other questions?
This is Lois. I would just make the comment that I know that it's an extremely stressful time, especially for finance people, Jim. I recognize the word fluid that you used to describe the process, and I just want to lend my support. I know it's especially challenging, and also to recognize the salary reductions that many of the staff have taken. I want to commend everyone who has done that. I know that's hardship, but appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Lois. I think I know our Chief Saran and our Fire Marshal and our City Manager, and Scott's kind of probably going to laugh when he hears me say this, but our new motto or new phrase going forward is not only rock solid together, and that's the platform we're building this recovery off, but I tend to have my own little quirks, and here in this department or in this building I've been crisis brings us together and hope always rises up. So that's the motto I'm working under, and I think all of us are kind of working under and moving forward with, and I think it's so proud of this whole city team and how we've come together and are working through this.
Thank you, Jennifer. So if there are no other questions for Jennifer, let's talk just a minute about Homer's recommendation regarding the budget document. It's not on the agenda for discussion today, so what we can do today is to, if the committee wants to, we can add it to our May agenda to discuss. So Homer, I guess I would take your recommendation as a motion to do that.
I'm just wondering whether or not by May it would be the cat would sort of be out of the bag. I'm trying to save Jennifer and her staff a lot of work.
I understand your – go ahead.
No, I didn't have any comment. I just thought since it was her – the agenda item was finance director's update, that we could have comments about – a general update by the finance director, but we can put it on our May agenda if A, everybody agrees, and B, Jennifer doesn't think it'd be kind of too late.
So here's kind of my thoughts on this. Some of it is there's not much updating to, like, the whole city background piece of it. I don't anticipate we're going to have any time to really go in and add anything to that this year. Same with the reference section. Some of the additional, large sums of pages are probably not going to change if we are able to get those produced. It's more of a copy from last year and put into this year and do a search for the year is my expectation. Some of the pieces that maybe do take some time are the performance metrics and what each department is doing and what the goals and accomplishments are. Well, that takes time, and irregardless of any kind of budget award or anything like that, I would guess that that was going to provide even more useful information during this budget cycle as we are assessing what we're funding during the cycle with pretty limited revenue sources and what we're planning and are accomplishing with those revenue sources. And it might be the foundation for which decisions need to be made on and any potential service reductions or something like that. So it's probably information that internally we will be gathering and needing anyways.
Okay, I just thought I'd throw it out to see if I could save you 400 pages of time.
Now, maybe the printing is a valid point with that, and maybe we're not printing them all. Maybe it's more of a digital submission at this point.
Well, at least print the pictures in black and white.
Okay, duly noted.
Okay, so let's move on then to the second business item, which is the discussion and input on the Measure Q fiscal year 2021 draft proposed budget. Jennifer, back to you.
Okay. So the chiefs are both on the line, our fire marshal, our support services manager, and our city manager has joined as well. So they can all answer questions if you have any. And I'm not sure if Rob, not sure that Rob has joined yet. So I can answer some of the pavement questions if you have any. What you have in front of you is reflective of what the whole 2020-21 budget is going to represent, and that's drastically reduced revenue expenditures and our best estimates at this point of what those revenues are going to be and what we project we can afford to fund moving into the next year. COVID hit in middle of March, so we're already, getting into that final quarter of the year. There's not a lot we can reduce in that final quarter, as a lot of operational expenses have already been spent for the year. So there's minimal recovery efforts, if you will, that can carry us through this quarter. We're looking at all of them that we can in terms of, anything that's not essential in terms of operating supplies or isn't a matter of life and death is not to be bought at this point. And positions are frozen, et cetera. But we have less capacity to recover from this year's losses as we do when we plan for 2021. So we think we've provided you with conservative revenue estimates. We went back and looked at our revenues that were received during the recession period, 2008 to 2011, and took some averages. Also looked at 2012-13 as we were coming out of the recession, and then received some data from HDL, our sales tax consultant, on what their best estimates are. Factored in some of the deferral, the possible deferral of sales tax revenue, not fully knowing what that impact may be, and are suggesting that we think we'll close this year with about $800,000 in Measure Q transaction tax, and looking at next year, $845,000. When we go through the budget and look at kind of the committed costs or the fixed costs, as you will, that were decided upon in many cases several years ago, such as the fire station loan, the staffing at the fire station. We recently had added the fire truck repayment, body-worn cameras for the police department, standby pay at the police department. If you fill in and plug in all those fixed costs, there wasn't a significant amount of money left, knowing that this year we won't have funds available to do a pavement management plan. So we eliminated that from the beginning. Also happened to work out well that the timing, our new consultant that revised our management plan was recommending a different approach. So we had planned to come back to the committee with a discussion of that during this month anyways, but realized quickly there wasn't going to be funds available. So when you plug in all those committed costs, there were some minimal operational adds that were included, about 30,000 in fire and 12,000 in police. for equipment and supplies needs that are either for the safety of our employees or required needs. And that left about $325,000 left to carry forward and put into our pavement management plan. Because we aren't doing a pavement management plan this year, we'll be carrying forward our SB1 money. All of you know, if you don't know, that's Senate Bill 1. That's our roads money that comes from transactions with sales or gas tax. So that is also impacted by the pandemic and loss of tourists and gas purchases. So we've lowered our expectations for that money. And coupled with those two SB1 funds from 1920 and 2021 and a $325,000 allocation from Measure Q, we can complete a pavement management plan of $679,000, which is what was recommended for this year in pavement management. And that's more reconstruction than rehabilitation work. It's really digging out some failed areas of our streets and reconstructing them to preserve the longevity or make them last longer than just the Surrey seal or chip seal. So we think we've done a good job of balancing all the priorities. We know that police and fire and public safety is highly prioritized in the community from our survey results. We know we need road work. And with the limited funds we had, we tried to balance all those needs to some level. So you have the draft budget before you. Like I said, everybody is here online and can answer questions. I will say I had a little bit of a version control. The numbers are all right, but there's some explanation listed missing from the fire department for a few of their things. So we will update that for the final version of this. And then we provided this unfunded listing of needs that if our revenue estimates are off, we get more revenues than we expect, we'll have a pre-established list that we can come back to you with and draw from, but you're aware of what those are, at the outset. So that was provided on the last page of the report. It gives some sense and magnitude of what those, needs are and what the unfunded gap is.
Okay, Jennifer, thank you. Well, let's we have questions for Jennifer. Let's do this a little bit different. Let's go in reverse alphabetical order. So that would be Tina, you'd be up first. Do you have any questions for Jennifer?
Not really at this time. Thank you.
Okay, Barbara, how about you?
No questions. I thought the report was pretty explanatory, and I agree with almost all her recommendations. Thank you.
Okay. Lois?
All of my questions were addressed earlier. So, again, I think they're doing – everything looks reasonable to me and just have to be flexible.
Okay. Thank you. Bill?
I like the recommendations, and Measure Q looked good. The big concern I have, I imagine your $800,000 for this year is pretty firm, since it's only been impacted. The coronavirus has only impacted 3 months of this year. Next year, you must have made an assumption it's only going to impact 2.5 months or something like that. I would assume if you're projecting to collect more money next year than you are this year. And this year we had the first 9 months were totally unimpacted by COVID-19. So I guess my question is, if 845 is not a good number for next year, you won't know that till later in the year. So do you have a plan for where you would make the cuts? And so you're not putting money into things early in the year that will preclude you from doing things later in the year. I just always look for a worst case. What is worst case? Who knows? It's crazy, but I think 845 seems pretty optimistic to me.
Yeah, so it's a great question. This is going to have to be incredibly fluid. Some of the timing of our, you know, debt service payments, for example, for the fire station loan happened differently. yet it's still committed. So we'll likely hold off on some of the purchasing of the, the minimal supplies that are outside of those committed funds until a little later in the year. We expect, or what we think might happen, is when the shelter at home is released, and as we phase in reopening, we might see people come to town, maybe from the valley, or get out for a drive, go to the beach, maybe not spend the night here, but maybe buy gas to get back home, and maybe buy some food. But we're going to have to monitor that, and then it will depend on, is COVID going to come back next winter, and we're back in this situation again and having to revise. So there's number of factors. There is fund balance remaining in the Measure Q fund that will help with not only the cash flow issue with if sales tax is deferred and Measure Q is deferred from the state, we'll have that to help us with from a cash flow perspective, and then also help to backfill if we are overestimating revenues.
Are we required to go invest money into pavement, which clearly is something the city needs, although we need a fire department or police department more. So I would personally think we want to make the decisions to put monies into paving as late in the year as possible, so we have a good handle on how much we're going to have, rather than have to shortchange the fire department or the police department.
Yeah, Rob did call in, and he's online, and maybe I can ask him to speak to the timing of when the pavement management plan would come about. I know this year he intended to do it in the spring, so about now, which would have been later in the fiscal year. And I'm not sure. Rob, are you there?
Yes. Can everybody hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you. So we would probably use the same scenario that we're proposing for this current year, push the bidding period out as long as possible to the spring. That way we're not encumbering any funds until late next year, when we would expect most of the revenues received. Also, we're continuing to push forward with the preparation of contract documents, so they're ready to bid. Should there be a infrastructure stimulus package, that we will have shovel-ready projects to put out to bid. That's where a lot of agencies fall down, is they don't have ready-to-list projects when these stimulus packages come about.
Sounds good to me. Yeah. Good plan.
Bill, do you have any more questions?
No, I don't. Thank you, John.
Okay, let's go to Bart then. Bart?
I agree with the comments that the report plus the Q&A were very thorough. Thank you, Jennifer.
Okay, thank you, Bart. Homer?
I don't have any questions, but as you would expect, I have some comments.
Bill, go ahead.
Are we ready for the comment section?
You're right. We need to do the questions first. Yeah, so hold that. Thank you. So I guess I'm the last one here. Yeah, the only question I had was in regards to your revenue forecast. How does it, looking at the 2 years together, how does the total revenue for the 2 years compare to what was in your 10-year plan before this COVID hit? How big of a reduction are we looking at?
So for 1920, we had $1,096,000 budgeted, and we're saying $800,000, so almost $300,000 less. And then let me pull up what we had in the forecast for. I think we had $1,111,000 for the original proposed for 2020. But let me pull that up and verify that. It's right around there. The nice thing about Zooming is I have all my documents right here. Oh, yeah. $1,011,000 was the 2020.
So what is, how much of that? $1 million what?
Oh, that's 1920. I'm sorry. It's another 300,000. It was 1,100,000 for 2020.
So it's about 600,000 total when you combine both years together?
Correct.
Okay. That's the only question I had. Okay, so now discussion. Let's go the other direction. Homer, we'll start with you.
Okay, thank you, John. At last Thursday's Tourism Business Improvement Board meeting, the chair gave a presentation on the outlook for the lodging industry for the next 20 months. It was really grim. As an example, this June is projected to be off 82%. It improves a little bit over the summer, but not much. Tourist-related sales tax will probably follow the same trend. As you're all aware, the price of gasoline, which is about 35% of the sales tax revenue, is also heading south. At the TBID meeting, the city manager stated that, and I don't know whether this was the general fund or overall city or what, he wasn't clear, but that he anticipated a loss of revenue this year of a couple million dollars, and next year, $4 million. Keep in mind the general fund's revenue is only $14 million to begin with. The reason I'm restating something that we already all know is I have a suggestion. Based on all the public opinion polls over the years, the public has strongly suggested that public safety is their number one priority. Granted, streets are a close second, but they're still second. To help with this year's budget adjustments, which I'm assuming that Jennifer will probably put forward in May or June, and the planning for the next fiscal year, instead of deferring the work on the pavement management plan, I think that we might consider recommending completely eliminating it from Measure Q funding, and those funds be transferred to the general fund to be used for police and fire offsetting personnel costs. The theory being is that when you look at a $4 million shortfall in revenue on only a $14 million budget, there's going to have to be some expenses cut someplace. And I'm just hoping that, you know, it's not police and fire. And the amount of money that we'd spend over the next couple of years for pavement management might save some firefighters and some officers. I'd also recommend that, based on whatever the finance director is comfortable with, that some of our unallocated funds also be transferred to the general fund, again, to be help to support police and fire. Paying police and fire salaries is a Measure Q objective, so we wouldn't be violating any of the public's trust. But I think the city's going to have to look at every single corner to find every nickel that they possibly can to maintain some semblance of the services for the next 15, 18 months.
Thank you, Homer. Barb, do you have any comments?
To comment on what Homer said, I don't disagree with the concept. In fact, I think my earliest comment on the agenda itself when we heard about it was what are the what ifs, and that likely we would be focusing on the police and fire. Whether or not, from the book standpoint, you transfer money to the general fund or you just expand the money that we spend on Measure Q, I guess I look to Jennifer. I'm not particularly enamored of getting into where we're transferring money over, because that doesn't seem correct to me. But the concept, again, of where you're coming from to potentially put off paving for now, I would agree with. That's it.
Hey, thank you, Bart. Bill, any comments on what's been said or what Jennifer has?
I agree with your recommendation, Homer.
Okay. Lois?
I am not sure that it's possible to transfer to general fund. I don't know if that's allowed under Measure Q, but certainly the concept right. of deferring payment in preference to making sure we have fire and police coverage is, I think the community would support that.
John, can I interject for 1 second?
Sure.
Just technically, we currently transfer money today to pay for the relief fire, to repay for the extra reserve firefighters and overtime to maintain a four-person staff. And I don't remember, maybe Steve would pop up and tell us, but I think it's about $250,000 or $300,000. For Jennifer?
It's about 120. $20,000 that we transfer into the general fund.
But the bottom line is we have a precedent for transferring.
Yeah, and it's for specific reasons. So in that spirit, I would support that for sure.
Okay, thank you, Lois. Barbara, any comments?
I'm in general supportive of that. I think I would like to see maybe a couple of scenarios of how dire it is in terms of the police and fire and where the cuts would have to be made if we didn't ramp up the support. But the principle and the concept, absolutely.
Okay, thank you. And Tina, any comments?
Yeah, well, actually, you guys, Homer, thank you for the discussion because I was wondering about what our avenues were from a Measure Q and whether or not transfer could happen. And so, yes, it makes logical sense that if there is a way to direct some of these funds towards police and fire or safety, certainly it makes sense. We will be looking at a fire season, God knows what that'll be like again this year. But to the other points, Barbara's, for example, what does that really mean? And I guess my general concern of how long we're going to have to buckle down as a city, in this really difficult time for making any kind of forecasting and prediction, even using 2008, which was pretty horrible. My thoughts, I guess I had a couple questions. One was, I don't want to overburden Jennifer, God knows. But we reduced the number of meetings the CFAC holds as a result for other kinds of decisions. I don't know if we want to revisit that. That's a question. And then the other is, if we decide that roughly 600 and something thousand is available to be utilized for police and fire, obviously, we would just spend it when we needed it. We wouldn't just move the entire fund over, right? I'm assuming. So that means she's going to have to be reporting. Jennifer, I'm sorry. You would probably be reporting back to us what that looks like on some regular basis. I mean, either that or you allocate every month $100,000. I don't know. But it seems to me, Homer, I'm not sure if you meant move the entire amount. At one.
No, for planning purposes, basically, what we're doing is recommending anything we do is a recommendation to the city council. You understand?
Right.
All I'm basically saying to the city council is that this committee says, here's another $600,000 or $700,000.
Right. Okay.
Give you some flexibility in the decisions making, the tough decisions you're going to have to make.
Yes.
If the city manager's right and next year he's going to be like $4 million, I'm not quite sure where that comes from.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, I understand. Thank you for the distinction that, of course, it's the city council's decision. But, I think whatever we can possibly dream up that is useful needs to be dreamed up. So, I mean, I think our citizenry, I don't know them very well. I know some of them. They probably would be fine. They would probably be made very insecure at thinking that police and fire were reduced. And it's a valuable thing that we have as a city. It's an asset that needs protecting, I think. So that's my comment.
Hey, thank you, Tina. So as far as the dollar amounts, Homer, let me just throw something out to you. This fiscal year, there was a budgeted $505,000 for pavement management plan contribution from Measure Q. So assuming the same amount for next year, that's, you're talking roughly $1 million over a two-year period, $500,000 each. The revised budget that Jennifer has presented to us shows $85,000 for this year for pavement management and $325,000 for next year. So that's a two-year total of $410,000. So between the 2 years, the roads, the contribution for Measure Q to the pavement management plan is being reduced per this revised budget by roughly $600,000. There's only $400,000 more that is being proposed to be spent on roads. So if the entire contribution from Measure Q to the pavement management plan were to go to zero for these 2 years, you're talking an additional $400,000 over and above what Jennifer has in her revised budget, not $600,000 to $700,000.
Well, it depends on, I happen to concur with Bill's thoughts a little bit on the projections for the revenue for this year and next year. I think that probably this year's revenue is, for Measure Q, is understated. And next year's is overstated, just primarily because this year we had a summer in the finance, in the budget, and next year we won't. But that being said, $400,000 is still three policemen or three firemen or something of that nature. My feeling is any money we can give the city council to work with, the better off they're going to be and help them with the kind of decisions that are going to have to be made.
Well, I agree. And $400,000 is not going to fill a $4 million hole, but it is going in the right direction.
Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify the numbers based on what Jennifer has in this revised budget that she's presented to us. Jennifer, do you have any comments on that, Jennifer?
Yeah, I don't want to interrupt that you know, you're having really good conversations, so I don't want to interrupt, but let me just throw in some information here that might change the direction of this conversation or continue it down this path. Believe we can defer SB1 money for another year. There isn't a value of doing a pavement project with just the small amount of SB1 money we have. It won't be efficient. If we defer pavement for another year, our PCI will drop from 66 to 61, which means lower conditions of the roads. However, as you've mentioned, we do know from our community polling that police and fire are the highest priority in this community. So we've been balancing that internally, and especially when we look at our operations in our general fund and what that means to close the projected $4 million gap for next year, and that's primarily coming from TOT and sales tax. There's some property tax loss estimates in there, as well as, you know, building permits, and then we have recreational services as well, which is not expected to generate revenue. So when we look at our services and our operations going into next year's budget, we have a vacant position in our police department that is being held vacant. They have three vacancies. City manager permitted filling two of those to keep operations going, but there's one that's held vacant and from all accounts at this point would continue to be held vacant going into the next budget. So that could be a funding opportunity if you're willing to give up, a pavement management plan, or the council's willing to, that could be a recommendation. There's also a list of other service or other operational equipment needs that are needed in both departments. But I guess I would need clarification on, is the recommendation that we would take to council to not do pavement management and do fund specific things? Is it in lieu of eliminating? We recognize police and fire are a priority in the community. And when we look at our entire city general fund budget, we're looking at where to make some significant cuts to make up that $4 million. Employee concessions and cutbacks are only going to go so far. We have to be very careful about our reserve usage because we don't know how long that needs to last for. So we're trying to balance all of those competing factors. So if it's a choice of funding, using Measure Q money to help fund police and fire, and ultimately leads down to maybe having less cuts in some other department. Is that what you're referring to? Or is it continue along the trajectory of cutting in other areas and keeping police and fire not only whole from a staffing perspective, but from a equipment and operational perspective? So I think both of your chiefs will maybe chime in here and tell you that from an operating perspective, meaning non-personnel costs, their budgets are already pretty limited in mean. There is not a lot that they can cut out of there. And when we're asking departments to, you know, bare bones budgets, what can you absolutely live without and what are the service impacts for taking things out? You know, the chief, fire chief reminds me constantly, tires cost so much. And if you need a pair of tires, there's not much you can do about it. And gas, you know, you need so much gas to operate the engine. So I guess we'd need clarification on what your recommendation is. Is it to help fund police and fire, keep them whole, maybe fill the vacant position, and potentially eliminate other service reductions in other departments? Or is it to just keep police and fire whole and the same service reductions, you know, need to be considered across the city? It's 400,000 isn't going to, you know, prevent a lot of service reductions, but it does help when you have a vacant position already in police, and they're very lean operating budgets. So maybe the chiefs want to weigh in, or the city manager.
So, Jody or Scott, or anybody want to comment?
I think the chiefs are reluctant to speak, but I agree with what Jen said, that you know, we know where our community's priorities are. That's not to say that the other services provided in the city aren't important. They do support the overall efforts of what we're trying to accomplish as an organization, but also provide those quality of life considerations for our community. You know, it is tough to already project being down one officer heading into next year, with the police department and having several new faces in the organization. We're very fortunate that we've been able to recruit new folks in. That's a hard thing to do in this environment. You know, that is clear direction that we've been provided by council, is that these two departments serve as sort of the highest priority. But we will have to make significant cuts in other areas. And, if there's ways to support sort of those ancillary services somehow, and also keep our police and fire staffing whole, that would be a great outcome.
Chief Cox, I noticed you're unmuted. Did you want to make a comment?
No, I was just going to comment also that Jen is right. We understand the impacts that this is having on our city as a whole financially. And Scott and I and Jennifer have all talked concerning the vacant position that we've had. As many of you are aware, we were three positions down last year. We were able to get those filled, which kind of brought us back up to full staffing for just what seemed like a minute before we lost three additional personnel, one through a retirement and then two to one of our neighboring agencies. So it's been very difficult in recruiting. We were able to reach out and find a couple of individuals that we picked up, swearing them in just yesterday, as a matter of fact. But being shorthanded, not only has a clear impact on our overtime budget, internally for the department, but also on the fatigue and the wear and tear on these officers that have been continually working through these vacancies of their partner personnel. So it does have another impact aside from the financial aspect of what I'm requiring the other officers to kind of step up and fill those vacancies. Because as you know, these calls for service aren't going away just because we're short officers. We're still getting more and more calls. The impacts of COVID, again, are even increasing some of those calls. As many of you are aware, with these new zero bell directives that have come down from the governor's office, there's more and more of these inmates being released to the streets, which again is increasing our calls for service. So it is very challenging from our perspective. We are understanding of the financial situation that we're in as a city, But again, it is a burden and a workload on the men and women that are out there doing the job every day.
Thank you, Chief. So let me put something out there.
John, I think Steve wanted to say something.
I'm sorry.
Sorry about that, John.
Well, go ahead.
Thank you so much. And first, Measure Q, what a God bless it's been for since 2007. It's allowed its fire department to run 100% of its calls, because at this time, 19% of our calls are affected by simultaneous calls. And up to 2007, we weren't able to respond to all our calls. But today, since 2007, we've been very creative with our staffing. We still use part-time people in full-time positions, trying to find the most cost-efficient and effective way to make sure that we'll be able to staff two medical aides and be able to do an interior attack on a fire, which we need the minimum of four people on scene for two and two out for OSHA. But also to effectively put that fire out. So it's been a very creative for us for the last 2 years. As Jen said, we are down at bare bones. There is a fixed cost to run a fire department at 2,000 calls a year. I don't think we can reduce our amount of staffing, but we won't be able to respond to one call at a time. So I don't know who would respond to the 19% of the calls they would call, but I mean, we also got to celebrate what Measure Q has done for us, for our community, what it really has done for police and fire. It's allowed us to maintain and keep up with our call load. You know, I was asked once before, have we ever done a study on our services how many people we should have or how many calls we should run? It's 911. So our study is done every day. We get 911 calls and the type of call it is. And as Chief Cox stated, people won't stop dial 911 or they're not going to change with that. So, I feel blessed that we have Measure Q that's been helping us out this last 12, 13 years to make sure that we can provide the service that the public wants. So thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Steve. Let me put a couple things out and kind of reiterate what Jennifer said. I'm sure the city doesn't want to risk losing the SB1 money by virtue of the fact that no road contract gets done. So it may be that Measure Q needs to donate or contribute something toward a road project in fiscal 2021 in order to make that happen. And then the other thing is that if any funds that get spent for Measure Q, I think need to be identifiable. I don't think you can just say, well, transfer to the general fund for general use. Even though it is a general tax, the people expect to have this committee report on an annual basis what that money was spent on. So I think those costs need to be identifiable. So I would recommend want to modify or recommend a modification to Jennifer's proposed revised Measure Q budget, is that we make the recommendation that the money for the road work in fiscal 2021 not be spent until the city knows what the condition of the general fund is, and that money be held as long as possible to perhaps be used to support police and fire. Would that fit within what you were thinking, Homer?
Well, actually, I did a little research on that, John. Currently, or at least in this fiscal year, the city has budgeted $460,000 for the street department within the Public Works Department. Primarily, about three quarters of that is personnel. The rest of it is asphalt. Between the SB1 money and the gas tax money, both of which have to be prepared for roads, the total of those two is about $460,000. And I don't know legally, but I thought SB1 money had to be used to improve streets. I didn't think it was specific that it has to be used to pay some outside contractor to improve streets. And our guys, which you've all seen around town, are out there digging holes in streets and repairing that and putting asphalt in. So I would think that we would be perfectly safe by being able to say, and I'm just guessing here, that all that money is in fact being used for streets, as it's supposed to be. And as far as the transferring money into the general fund, we would need to be specific that it is to keep police and fire whole. And again, keep in mind, all we're doing is recommending something to the city council, which could, you know, just reject it completely. Does that help at all?
Okay, so do you want to put that into the form of a motion?
I would like to, if that's possible, unless Ms. Callaway has some comments.
Yeah, I think before maybe we go down that road, Rob, can you help clarify? SB1 money is tied to a project list. And I'm not sure how easily we can revise that project list, but when we apply for it, we have to submit a list of roads. And I'm not sure that we can combine that with the gas tax money, which is used to go towards our maintenance of effort, which calculation, which we need to meet in order to receive SB1 money. So I think I'm making it more confusing, and I'm going to let Rob weigh in on that, because I'm not sure you can actually do, Homer, maybe what you're suggesting.
So there's a couple of things at play here with the SB1 money. We have to meet our maintenance of effort with, excuse me, non-discretionary city money. So we have to maintain at least $249,000 worth of street work to not have our SB1 money reduced. The SB1 money is tied to a project list. We input a project list to the state every year. Now, that project list can be modified and changed at basically when we report in October of each year what we did. We would basically say that we do this every year because as we move into projects, things ebb and flow. So we report that we didn't do Beet Street, but we did Market Street, using a couple of fictitious streets as an example. The issue with the street work that needs to get done in the fairly near future, this preservation of our arterial and collector streets, it's beyond the capability of city forces. We do not have the manpower nor equipment to do deep section large paving areas. So we would need to hire a contractor to come in and do that work. Now, we could assist with the prep work, and Homer is right that SB1 money can be used to pay city forces. Our share of that would be fairly small on these projects. And if we don't, what we're facing is structural failures in our collector and arterial streets at the street sections. So we don't repair those. We're going to start developing large potholes on Main, South Bay Boulevard, Morro Bay Boulevard, Harbor, Pacific, are the streets that really carry the bulk of our traffic. So those are the issues at play. Will they fail tomorrow? Probably not. Can we continue to throw cold mix and patch them to carry it through? Yes, we can. But there will be a time where major work needs to get done. I don't know if that clarified anything.
So maybe to feed off on that, I don't think I would recommend that we transfer Measure Q money beyond what we already do to the general fund. I think we would switch it and transfer the expense side to Measure Q. So if you chose to, you know, fund the vacant officer position, we would just show that as a salary and benefit line item and charge that officer to Measure Q. Same for any kind of operational or other expenses. But since we are meeting again in May, and it is ahead of what we intend to move the budget meetings to, maybe a less specific recommendation from the committee would be more helpful, and we can go back and formalize what makes sense to do, if anything, from a pavement side with SB1 money internally, and maybe remove that from Measure Q and look at what can be funded in police and fire and come back with a revised budget. That might make more sense rather than the committee members trying to get down into the detail. If you give us some general direction that we can go off of, that might work better at this point as we figure out what SB1 money can do, if there's even enough to do something that would make sense.
I can make a motion at this point.
Well, I've got one.
Bill, why don't we let Homer go, since this was his.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Homer.
Usually stay behind, but that's all right. Go ahead.
To help with this year's budget revenue shortfall and the planning for the next fiscal year's budget, that instead of deferring the work on the pavement management plan, that it be eliminated from the Measure Q funding. The funds would be used to offset police and fire personnel expenses.
Hey, can I ask a clarifying question, John?
Sure, go ahead.
Thank you. So I don't completely understand the intricacies of this funding problem, but what I'm confused about is, if we make a motion like this and if it goes forward, what does it mean is left from a pavement fund perspective? Does it mean that it's basically gone? Assuming we spent it on fire and police and needed necessary decisions, what I'm trying to understand is how that is rebuilt to fund the stuff we've deferred. You know what I mean? Is it really a 3-year impact or a 2-year impact? Do you understand the nature of my question?
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows really what the impact is, but the bottom line is that it simply is not done. I mean, $500,000 a year roughly has been going from Measure Q to the pavement management plan.
Okay.
And being used for paving projects, and those projects just will not get done.
And then, in theory, they deteriorate further, so they potentially cost more money when they, quote-unquote, get picked up.
Yeah. Well, that's right. So the question is, two questions. What's the higher priority, police and fire or roads?
Right.
And then the second question is, you know, what costs more to catch up with in the long run? Is it harder to put back together police department, fire department, when you lose your personnel, or is it easier to, you know, make up road work that has been deferred? I think that the city definitely considers police and fire a higher priority, without a doubt. There is one additional wrinkle, and I'm sorry to get too far here, but, you know, the city's going to be going for a 1-cent gas tax in November. And so the question is going to arise, well, if the voters approve it, what's the money going to be spent on? And the city's going to find itself in a situation where it's preserving fire and police, and it's pretty much abandoning roads. And so I think probably if it gets approved, that money will largely end up going back to roads. But, that's a future thing the city has to consider. It's just it adds an additional wrinkle to that measure that's going to be on the ballot in November.
So, again, another point to this question of mine. So, Homer, your motion in terms of the timeline, you said this year – and next year, correct? 2020, what's the balance of this year, and 2021 is in your motion. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I also forgot to add, and I wanted to include, again, based on Ms. Calaway's recommendation, the Measure Q is currently sitting on some unallocated funds. Some of it has to be reserved for the debt service on the fire department, and the loan reserve, but the total number, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it's on our report. It's what, $300,000+, John, of the fund balance.
It is unallocated fund balance is 181 almost.
Right, and I'm suggesting that be part of this too. So
yeah. Well. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's 257 for the, what we're estimating for right. this year, and then using some for next year.
Right, and I'm but please note, I put a caveat in there that, you know, based on your discretion of how much you're comfortable using, but that we try to use, again, back to the same thing, $4 million.
So let me remind the chair that we need to do public comment and make sure nobody's called in to add in on this. So just as a reminder, John, and then we would need to get a second for this as well so we can continue on with the discussion.
Yeah, let me do that first. Let's ask for a second. Did everybody hear Homer's motion clearly enough to offer a second?
Yeah, I'd like to make a comment before we look for a second. I mean, I like the motion, but I think it could be a lot simpler by just moving that because of the uncertainty that COVID-19 is causing us to face regarding the budget, we just recommend that the city council and the city's treasurer not allocate any money from Measure Q to other than fire and police department until we have more information.
And then, Homer, would you be willing to modify your motion?
No, that's fine. I do want to include the unallocated, though, in it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So then, Bill, state that, let's see. Okay.
He's going to have to email Jennifer with his exact wording on that.
Yeah, well, simply our recommendation to the city council is that all unallocated Measure Q funds and the Measure Q funds for 1920 and 2021 only be allocated at this time to police and fire department, and will hold on allocating the remaining monies until we have better information regarding what our financial situation will be.
And
so, Homer, would you be willing to withdraw your motion and let Bill's motion stand?
If he's willing to add and including the unallocated amount.
Yeah, right. Bill? Jennifer, does that make sense to you? At some point, we have enough knowledge, we'll come back.
Well, let's get a second and then see if there's any public comment and then have a...
Okay, as long as Homer has withdrawn his original motion.
And Homer, I did hear Bill say unallocated, so that was already in the already in the motion.
Okay, so now we have a motion by Bill. Do we have a second? Homer, you want to second it?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Okay, good. So now let's see if there's any public comment. Anybody out there? Hearing none. And I also want to ask, did Bart leave the meeting?
Yeah, he had a conflict at 4 o'clock.
Okay, so Bart's not part of this discussion anymore. Okay.
Okay, so now can I ask some clarifying questions about this before you get into your discussion?
You betcha. Go ahead.
Okay, so I would not recommend, I would definitely recommend holding off on using any of the unallocated fund balance until we have more information on the sales tax deferral. Some estimates, including HVLs, indicate that could be up to $300,000, $167,000 and $107,000, so just under $300,000. So that fund balance is really going to help from a cash flow perspective if, in fact, those numbers come true. So I would really suggest the committee consider that, and we would be considering that in a revised version of this budget coming forward. And then secondly, hearing that public safety is the priority and you want to defer street work, we would really be looking at tying that street money or that street allocation to some really hard costs within public safety. For instance, the vacant position, maybe letting that get filled and moving forward, and perhaps the two that we were on the fence with filling that we did just fill to help, or one and half of those or something to that effect. But we definitely want to tie it to some hard costs and reflect those in the revised version. So we want to make sure that meets what your intention is from the motion.
Nolan, Homer, you want to address that?
My intention is to eliminate, just very simply, what Bill said. Eliminate pavement management from this year and next year's expenses in Measure Q and use it all for police and fire. And as far as the sales tax deferral, I understand that and agree with it, but maybe if it turns out that the city doesn't lose the money, that we could use it for police and fire, something along those lines.
And I have a comment too. I want it to be really clear that that we don't put the SB1 money at risk. So there's no matching requirement. There's no expiration. So, you know, I fully support this, but I want to make sure that we've clarified that we're not going to lose the SB1 money.
And John, it looks like Barbara wants to add in on that too.
Yes, Barbara. Thank you, John. I want to make a few comments because, yes, I did not support Homer's original motion because I didn't feel we had enough information. Approximately 5-6 years ago, CFAC looked at this with the PCI. I believe then our pavement index was in the high 50s. We got it up to 66. And at that time, and I believe it was Mr. Livick was quoting, we would have to spend 1.5 million a year to get it up to PCI 70, which is just average. And now I see in the agenda documentation that's over 2 million a year. So I'm very concerned about the return on that, although I absolutely recognize that public safety is number one priority. So as a follow-up, if you needed 100K to add to the pavement management to match up the fuel tax and the SB1 when you have a more clear idea of how much is coming on that, then that's why I'm a little concerned about a blanket statement right now that we'll just totally eliminate it when we don't have all the information, in my opinion, to make a real sharp, real informed decision. And then secondly, I know we're just making a recommendation, but when a Citizens Advisory Board makes a recommendation to council, it begs the question, how many times have they ever not listened to our recommendations? And I think if you go back through history, most of the time they take those quite seriously. So it's more than just a recommendation, in my opinion. It's a, you know, very strong recommendation. So I would hold off to defer till we have just a little more information. We don't need a CAFR report on this, but we do. Things are a little too fluid right now, in my opinion. Thank you.
Could we as a committee just approve today, just make the recommendation today that we approve Jennifer's recommendations of the monies to be moved to police and fire department and nothing else at this point in time? And come back at a later date. That keeps all the options open, and we're not putting money into streets.
So the timing of this to address kind of those issues, we have our meeting on Tuesday that I spoke about, the special meeting on Tuesday. So we would probably be including this conversation and recommendation in that discussion to help preserve the fire and police public safety as we know it. And by preserving, I mean maybe filling the vacant position that we weren't going to fill in police or something that's been eliminated already to help keep them, you know, whole, if you will. But I think that would be a conversation, if that's the direction this committee wants to go in, that we'd share with the council on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, to get direction and moving forward. And Barbara's absolutely right. The council really values this committee's input and feedback and recommendations. And I think it's important to get this recommendation to them as quickly as possible so they can provide feedback.
Okay, so let's consider some of the points that were made here by Lois and Barbara. Lois wants to add the idea that you don't jeopardize the SB1 money. And I think the money that is being spent this fiscal year, the $85,000, I believe you said, was for the pavement management plan update that would be the basis of next year's roadwork. Is that correct, Jennifer?
That's correct. That is already committed money, estimated. It might be a little bit high. It might be a little lower than that, but that will roll out as we close out that contract.
Okay, so we really can't take that number to zero this fiscal year, that money is going to be spent no matter what this committee recommends, right?
No, but keep in mind that the city staff is only recommending that they don't fund the pavement management this year. The city council could go ahead and say, we're going to spend the money. We want to spend the money on the roads. We're going to take the money out of police and fire, you know. I think all we're really trying to do is say we as a committee would like to have all of that money that was going to go to streets go to police and fire. And in terms of the SB1 money, that's something the city staff can work out to be sure that it's not jeopardized. Two things that I picked up from the chief's conversations is when Steve mentioned, when Chief Knuckles mentioned the 19% simultaneous calls, that means that if they're at Bill's house and their staff has been reduced and I call them, I have to wait till they finish at Bill's. And it's just, you know, that's kind of, I think that would be unacceptable for 19% of the population. And then Chief Cox's comments about there's more bad guys. Those are two things that, you know, safety, if people don't feel safe, in my mind, that's a lot more important than a couple of the potholes on Pacific Street that I walk on every day.
Hey, Homer, that's fine, and I don't disagree with you. I'm just trying to get this motion down to something that is understandable for us to transmit to the city council.
John, do you mind if I say something real quick here?
Go ahead, Scott.
So, you know, when we're looking at the $2 million and the $4 million piece, we have the four pillars of the overall rock-solid Morro Bay program, rock-solid together. You know, looking at employee compensation, looking at operations, looking at the reserves, and then federal assistance and support from our community. When we look at the operations, that's really going to come down to prioritization. And you know, we already are projecting into the next meeting with council on the 28th of how we would do that. And we're going to filter it through what you guys are saying, what our community has already told us through surveying, what council's already told us, police and fire, our number one priority. We're not recommending anything that would cut into the service of those programs. The only thing we have right now, with the exception of a lot of equipment needs that aren't going to be met, is really in the police department is the vacancy, you know, and that affects the operation. So, you know, just so you guys understand where we're coming from, the Measure Q money could be held in abeyance if things get worse than we expect. And that could be used to preserve fire and police operations. I think right now, if we just plug more money into police and fire, then it sort of is, there's some level of like, are we now enhancing service while everything else is getting diminished? That's just an important thing to consider. But loud and clear, we're hearing priority number one is police and fire, and that's how we viewed this from the beginning. But we want to make sure we're keeping those operations whole. That's the goal, not going above that. Especially when we have all these other needs and we have a lot of equipment needs in police and fire that are going unmet.
That's the right answer, that we should just hold in abeyance the allocation of Measure Q money until we have a better idea of what the rest of this year, next year will look like.
Can I make a suggestion, John? I give up as usual. Based on what the city manager just said, quit smiling. Based on what the city manager just said, I think we ought to go ahead and I make a motion that we approve the Measure Q budget for 2021 as presented. And since there was two city council members on this call, they surely understand at least where we're coming from in terms of our priorities, and just be done with it.
Okay, Bill, do you withdraw your motion?
Yes, I'll withdraw my motion. And now, are you recommending another motion?
Can I say one more thing in response to Homer real quick?
Go ahead.
So, you know, we do have, like I said, we do have the vacancy in police, and so that does have an effect on operations. So I just want to make that clear. We cannot fill that at this time because of our financial situation. if there are sufficient funds in Measure Q, that is the thing that Jen's talking about, the hard costs we can actually attribute to preserve existing service levels. So I want to make sure that's clear. I'm not trying to be argumentative, but just make sure that we all are coming from the same level of facts at this time.
Thank you, Scott. And I think, Homer, I think your motion gives the city staff maximum flexibility in that regard. So I would support it. Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Barbara.
So just to clarify that motion, because I'm not sure I got that same thing, that it was giving us more flexibility. I think the motion was to approve the budget as it is, knowing that pavement would be deferred until spring, and if we knew that there was more, if we knew the revenue sources were coming in or could provide another option. Maybe I misheard Homer's last recommendation.
Actually, we don't even need to make a motion, John. Receive draft of proposed FY 2021 Measure Q budget and provide feedback. And anybody that listened has sure had plenty of feedback.
Okay, well, that's true, but I think just for official status, I think we ought to have a vote on it. This isn't the final budget, obviously, but I think to give clear direction, we should have a vote. So you made a motion. Barbara has seconded. I'm going to go ahead and call the question. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, so everyone in favor with Bart absent.
John, so, can I make a recommendation? Would you feel comfortable? I know Barbara had done this in the past of sort of drafting a letter that captures the conversation. Certainly we can do it in our staff report that's going to council about the overwhelming sense of support and wanting to keep our fire and police whole, the operations whole, that is. Do you want to transcribe that, or do you just have faith in us that we'll be able to do that? I leave this to the group because I know that Barbara has done that on behalf of the committee in the past.
Well, can I ask a question, Scott?
Yes, sir.
When you look at the future and the $4 million potential loss, I mean, since police and fire department are the biggest costs the city has, I mean, hiring, right now you're living with a vacancy, would love to fill it. Would you rather not fill it now? Let's wait to see what the final decision is and where you have to go, because certainly worst case could come down that you have to make cuts to police and fire department.
Yeah.
So I like your idea of just holding abeyance and not move any monies at this point.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Bill. I guess what I was saying is that with the abeyance is just, if we want to fill the position, I think there's room for that. And then the remainder just be held back until we see what else is out there. You can ask Jody about what the impact, service impact. I'm certain if Steve had a vacancy in his shop, he'd be feeling it too. You make that up with a lot of overtime, and sometimes the costs outweigh the savings and morale. So it's a, I think we have enough to go on, but I'm curious if John would support writing a letter. But good question, Bill. I can't answer that right now. Thank you.
I think the chief wants to add something, but I would just say from a somebody not in the public safety department, the impact to morale on not filling a position, a variety of other, operational reductions and, being asked to do more, during this time of crisis goes a long ways to improving morale when there's a vacant position that they've been told isn't going to get filled, to be filled and be supported by the community. And I don't want to speak out of line with that, but and Jody can certainly speak to it more, but.
No, that's absolutely correct. I think Jen and Scott have both, help cover that well. It is challenging. The team, again, as I mentioned, with having three positions this past year that were vacant, have been working extremely hard to try and keep up with calls of service. As you know, we typically right now only have two officers on duty at any given time due to the numbers of personnel. And if one of these officers gets called away for a medical transport or to book somebody into county jail, that leaves one officer in the city. Several of the big incidents that we've had over the last couple of months, we've been fortunate that we've been able to call in either the Sheriff's Department or CHP to come in as an AOA to assist. And when I say we just hired two new guys, keep in mind that, that these gentlemen still have to go through a four-month field training program. So it's still another 4 months before those two gentlemen get to be out in a car on their own and add some relief to those guys that are, again, working all of the overtime that is, that, that is currently building up on the vacant positions. So it, it's a much different process than just bringing a guy on and throwing him in a car and cutting him loose to go out there and take off some of those calls for service.
Hey, Jody, this is Barbara. Can you answer two quick questions, please? Number one, yes, do you have any metrics on this zero bail or prisoners getting released, if that's impacted?
So it is, and immediately, it's a great question, Barbara, and immediately what it did here in Slo County is it forced our sheriff, Ian Parkinson, to release about 40 individuals from county jail. And that's not counting the state as well. The state is releasing literally thousands of inmates statewide. We were contacted by parole and probation. They give us kind of a heads up of those inmates that are from Slo County that are coming back into our county once they're released. And off the top of my, my head, I want to say there was, you know, probably 40 to 50 of those that would be coming back into the area once they're released. So it definitely has an impact, not only immediately for those that have been released, it has a big impact on us because now we can't take many of these people to the jail. We just have to cite them out. And that's with almost all misdemeanors and a majority of felonies, although it says nonviolent felonies. The way the judicial system classifies violent felonies, you're still going to have some people on the street that, that on the law enforcement side and from the district attorney perspective should absolutely be behind bars that are just not going to be.
Okay.
So it is going to have a direct impact on frontline staffing on patrol.
Thank you for that. And then just real quickly, I know we haven't funded the school resource officer recently. Is there any way you could get that person back part-time or something to kind of help out?
That officer is still assigned to the school. They are still paying for his salary. We've been in talks with them, but they're currently utilizing him every day at the school with the projects that they have going on over there. And he's currently in the middle of drafting some of their operational safety plans, active shooter, and redrafting mapping plans for the RAVE mobile app project that the school has going on. So okay, if we were to try and take that individual from the school district, I'm sure they would continue, you know, or discontinue paying for it, and that cost would come back to us either way.
Well, I realize that. I was just thinking maybe half-time or something. Maybe they weren't working full-time at the schools and we'd pay half and at least get some help. That was my
thought. They're still using him full-time as of right now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Do we
Homer, before I forget, let me just answer Scott's question and then you can go. I totally trust you to put a condensation of our conversation into the staff report for next Tuesday.
I agree.
Okay, Homer, go ahead.
Thank you.
After that speech by Chief Cox, of the $325,000 that's being allocated for, granted, being deferred, whatever word you want to use for the pavement management plan, do you want to say you want to use some of it to pay for the extra police officer that he's short, that Mr. Collins mentioned, the city manager mentioned? And a rookie police officer I don't think is too expensive, is he? Is it, Jennifer, considering that they're a Tier 3 pension person and might be a single person that doesn't have family health and some of that stuff?
So, as you know, and you're hitting on, there's a lot of variables here as to what, you know, who would necessarily bring in. If indeed a PEPRA, which means Tier 3, we could have a Tier 2 apply because if they're a lateral, for example, and already in PERS, they could come over as a tier two.
Right. I understand.
But a single, you know, an entry level tier three, a fully loaded officer would be, let me just run it here, about 115,000, depending on medical and that kind of thing. That's with all the benefits and PERS, you know, costs and all of that.
Yeah, a young officer.
Well, I guess so. We advertise. We can't advertise for a young officer. We can advertise for an entry level officer, which
includes. I'm just throwing that out.
Okay.
I realize that we've already made the motion and everything else, John. But just so as long as you know that it looks like we'll be light an officer for at least the next 15 months.
Okay, thank you, Homer. I think we're pretty much done here, right? Anybody else have any other comments? Okay, good. Let's go on to item C,
I do have a comment. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And, you know, Scott's not in the room, so maybe this is more of a question for Scott. I think I'm clear on the motion, but I think the motion maybe is a bit contradictory in some senses to some of the discussion. So Scott, I want to make sure you're clear when we're writing the staff report. The motion is to put the pavement management plan money in abeyance,
right,
until we know more. But then some of the discussion fed around, you know, you recommending some of the money be filled to use that fill that vacant position.
Yeah,
so they're a little contradictory.
I think the way I would do that is to say, you know, the formal vote was X, the discussion was Y. They may be contradictory, but ultimately what they're indicating is that they want to preserve police and fire operations, and sort of putting in the lap of council to decide if you want to take that up now or if we want to hold back and see if there's more financial calamity or it gets worse or whatever the case may be, they'd be able to hold that money back and spend it a later time on the same thing. So that's, I think we can make that work.
And the bottom line is the motion was to approve Jennifer's draft budget as presented.
Right.
That's correct.
Right.
Yeah, and I was the only one that thought about the other option. We hadn't even discussed that, so that's fine.
Okay, so moving on, future agenda items. Jennifer, what do you have coming up for us?
So for the May meeting, you will have probably some portion of an operating and maybe capital budget to look at, a WARF quarterly report that was deferred until May, and fingers crossed, an investment report. Their investment report is done. The bank recs are all done. It's a matter of me doing the actual staff report for it, which doesn't take a lot of time, but is not as high of a priority necessarily as a budget.
Okay, thank you. And on the WARF quarterly report, you're going to be including in your staff report or in Eric's quarterly report those new review elements that the council adopted back in January?
Yes. There was a recommendation in January from the city council, so we'll have some discussion include those elements in either of those reports, and some of them may not be relevant right away. For example, debt service, we're not paying debt service right now, but we'll have a discussion of those four.
Okay, good. And then one other thing, Bart had communicated to me that that the city had provided to Bart and Bill the WARF Microsoft project schedule. Is that something that could be forwarded to the whole committee membership?
Sure. I think I have a copy, but I think maybe Tracy helped make copies internally, so I'll see if she has it and we'll send what we have or get it from Bart and Bill.
Yeah, I have it. It's just a PDF. I could send it if you don't have it to Jen. I can send it to you to distribute.
Okay, thank you.
The budget for the next meeting, would it be possible? I don't know how the rest of the committee feels, but last year she gave us a hard copy And I'm wondering whether we could live with a PDF and only print the pages you are interested in having hard copy to write on and stuff. Just to save her some time for making hard copies of that budget. Of the six, of the however many pages will finish at that stage of the game. Just a suggestion.
I'm leaving to Jennifer to go make whatever she thinks is the most efficient way for her. We can do all electronic if necessary and ourselves print out those pages we need.
We'll move to an electronic document, and if there's something, individual pages, as long as it doesn't get to be, you know, page 3, 7, 10, 12, a number. You know, if there's sections people want printed, maybe we can move forward with that. But otherwise, it'll be an electronic
submission. No, I was suggesting the committee print their own pages.
Oh, okay.
I like that. Jennifer, when will the agenda come out for the May meeting? And the reason I'm asking, will it come out Thursday or maybe Wednesday? Because there'll be a lot of information to discuss and understand, and there may be a need for groups of three of us to get together to talk about WRF things, to talk about the four new requirements or responsibilities that have been given to the CFAC. And so we'd like to have Zoom meetings, and hopefully there'll be enough time to come to the meeting being prepared. So is it likely that we'll see this before Thursday? Or
I'll make a note of that, and we'll do our best to get it to you as soon as possible.
Yeah. The other thing, I finally paid for a Zoom meeting we had last week. I have a paid subscription to it, but the city has its own Zoom account. I know they use their consultant who's using their Zoom account we're on right now, but I'm told that the city has its own account they use for EOC matters and such like that. And I was wondering, would it be possible when groups of any advisory committee want to get together, if fewer than a quorum, they could use the city's Zoom account and be able to have their own meeting of three people for discussion and not have to. You can do it for free if you get a free Zoom account, but it's only a 40-minute meeting. So is that something that could be done? I know a lot of the Zoom accounts or meetings I attend now are someone else has the Zoom account and then use their account. But since the city has one, this is city kinds of meetings I'm talking about.
So the Zoom account that we're on right now is AGP, so that's right. Not under our control. We do have one or two of the paid accounts that allow more in that have been dedicated for EOC-related conversations, so we wouldn't want to commit that. I do think that if you are meeting with three or less, there is an unlimited time on the unpaid subscriptions. I think it's when you get to more than three that it's a 45-minute call. If there's a subcommittee or something formed, we can certainly see where we're at with May, where, you know, with this emergency and the op center and how we're operating, and maybe revisit them. The availability of our accounts.
Okay. Well, I think your paid account can be used for any purpose. So in fact,
it can be used. Yeah. It can be used for any purpose, but EOC-related purposes would take precedence over anything else if we're having EOC meetings or to that extent. Okay. We have them throughout the day, every day at this point.
Yeah, okay. I thought these Zoom accounts, you can have multiple meetings going on at the same time, but I may be wrong. Maybe that's the kind of account you have. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Bill. So three items for our May 19th meeting. 3 o'clock. I'm assuming it's going to be the same format. Nothing is going to really change between now and then, I don't think, as far as meeting at the vet hall. So we'll be doing the same thing. And thank you all for attending, and I'll adjourn the meeting.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody. Stay healthy.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.